which is worry, anxiety, and fretfulness, the prescription for peace. But in everything, every little thing, let, and it's in the continuing voice, keep on letting your request be made known unto God.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I think flies under the radar. It goes low profile too many times until something major takes place, just as we're talking about just before the news break, where a Major League Baseball player, a pitcher, has now been put in the under the microscope. He didn't shoot anybody. He didn't rob anybody. He did not in any way try to throw the game. He didn't in some manner demean the baseball team that he's playing for. As a Christian, he and 2 or 3 other players just put scripture verse on their cap where the league had made the caps for them with the Sodomite Pride Month symbol on it. And rather than simply representing that as being real, they decided as Christians to take a stand. And I'm thankful, ladies and gentlemen, that they did. And again, let me read portion of an article. The MLB said the issue was not the content of the message, but the alteration of the uniform. The writing on the cap violates our rules, and consistent with normal practice, we have warned the players about future violations. The player, however, said his message was not rooted in hate, but in fact rooted in faith. Quote, this is what the player said, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this. Giant of a Christian, willing to stand. It's just about God. It's about God's covenant. It's about God's promise that he makes to us, the pitcher told reporters. According to the NBC Sports Bay Area, quote, that's just kind of something I believe in, and I stand firmly in that belief, end quote. The article reads further, Professional Sports League appealing, willing to celebrate worldwide while punishing. They appear to be willing to celebrate one world view worldwide, that is the LGBTQ view, while punishing Christians who express their views. The article says this, it has absolutely nothing to do with actually playing baseball. They're trying to pander to a specific crowd to build up a social credit system. Their controversy is a wider cultural pattern in which Christians in professional sports are being pressured to simply stay quiet and not speak. Quote, Christians all over America and all of these professional sports and the sports leagues are being penalized and punished simply for standing up for what is right. And that is God's word. That is Christian morality. That is what God prescribed for all of us to do through Scripture. The Christian school teacher said he believes it remains a majority of Americans that too often the majority want to remain silent rather than taking a stand. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time Christians recognize that we need to be verbal, visual, vocal, victorious in our stand for Christ. I think it's time for Christians to get out of the closet and come out from under the bed. I think it's time for Christians in these last days, while we have an opportunity, to be motivated by the Word of God enough that we're willing to stand for it. Now, it might sound simple to simply put a verse of Scripture on the baseball cap, but these players put on their Genesis 9, verses 12 through 16, which is the repeating of what God said about his covenant with Noah in relationship to the covenant that he made in relationship to not destroying the world by a flood again. The rainbow, when the rainbow comes out. If you ever watched them when it rains a while, just a few minutes, then the rainbow comes out. It's God saying, my promise is still valid. My promise is still real. I'm still sovereign, and you can trust in what I say. And this is what the players were saying. Now I'm looking at an article. Todd Starnes, again, it's a brief article. The man who will replace, listen, he's gone a step further, because one of the wannabe senators out of California that eventually will replace Nancy Pelosi got into the fray, got into the argument about the baseball players versus. Todd Starnes says, the man who will replace Nancy Pelosi in Congress wants Christian Major League Baseball players punished. State Senator Scott Wiener is enraged at the Christian players who wrote Bible verses on their gay pride hats. Scott Wiener said the players defaced the hats with the verses and accused them of being homophobic. Now, members of Congress are stepping in to this growing controversy. The Major League Baseball warned players, quote, to never again write Bible verses on their mandatory, listen, on their mandatory pride gear. Clearly, this writer says, Major League Baseball has an infestation of anti-Christian bigots running the show. Now, what say you? The telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Do you watch a baseball game on television? Do you go to a baseball game in the arena to be demeaned as a Christian, to be debased as a Christian, and to have anti-God, anti-Christ, immoral, ungodly, unholy, sodomite agenda thrown in your face? Is that what you go to a Major League Baseball game for? Is that what Christians on a Major League team are supposed to embrace in silence? Let's just make a transition. Let's say that it's you. You're not on a baseball team, but you're in a team of professionals where you work. You have your cubicle that you have your computer and other equipment in. Others in their cubicles, they have little funny sayings, they have caricatures, they have memes, they have professional some statements or some printed material about a political agenda. And it's all okay. But if you put Bible verses up, or if you share the cross of the Lord Jesus, and a co-worker comes by and sees that, and they are convicted because the Holy Spirit working on them, and they make an accusation, the boss comes to you and says, you can't do that ever again. What would you do? How would you respond? Is that a legal mandate? Is that a constitutional mandate? Is that something that you should simply, in silence, bow and bend and submit to? Or should you take a stand? This is the reason, when it comes to truth, we need to stand for truth. As John Huss said, even to death. And I believe that's what we're seeing this germinating across America with the canceling of Pride Month and going to simply the truth of the Word of God. And I go back in closing thought and relationship to this, ladies and gentlemen. I go back to this statement from Josh Hawley. Josh Hawley challenging the baseball commissioner. And this is dated as of June the 16th. And I'll back up and read the introduction again. When San Francisco Giant pitcher wrote a Bible verse on his team mandated by LGBTQ promoting baseball cap, it was a reminder to the homosexual community that others, that the Bible records how the rainbow is really a symbol of God's, and it's God's promise not to destroy the earth by a flood ever again. And ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what the scripture says, and then Josh Hawley reminded the baseball commissioner, he told him, he said, you remember in 2020 when the NLB turned uniforms into billboards for the political and social message, including Black Lives Matter? The report noted that not only did this baseball player, but others, walked onto the field on Friday with Genesis 9:12-16 etched on their caps in white lettering. The letters refers to Genesis 9:12-16, the passage about God's covenant with Noah following the worldwide flood described in the first book of Genesis. It marks the first recorded instance of the rainbow, which is now used as the symbol for the LGBTQ agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what is taking place with the persecution against Christians. I've got one other article, and then we'll make a transition, but we'll pick up our other telephone calls in just one moment. Headline says, Mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E, is not San Francisco or Los Angeles, Mobile. Black backlash erupts against City of Mobile efforts to promote the LGBTQ Pride Month. The marketing organization for the city Mobile is ramping up its push to celebrate Pride Month. And one Mobile pastor, not a dozen, not a hundred, one Mobile pastor is calling on the community to step up and push back. The city is decorated with banners that says, Alive with Pride. June, lighting up Mobile with love, visibility, and pride. The city also hung banners reportedly purchased by a private citizen. Visit Mobile is a nonprofit organization that receives tax money through lodging tax revenue. The Mobile City Council recently approved a lodging tax increase, gives 37.5% of the lodging tax revenue to the Visit Mobile group. Keep in mind that that's a nonprofit group called Visit Mobile, that's Mobile, Alabama, in the 2026 proposed budget. The Visit Mobile was projected to receive $5 million of the tax distribution. Pathway Church pastor serves as the Visit Mobile board on the board of directors. Johnson said he believes that people should be free from to live their lives, but not taxpayers' expense. I'll read this and cease. Nobody's trying to stop anybody from whatever decision they make. They just do not have the privilege of using taxpayer money. There are 10 executive committee members and 13 board members, Johnson said, and keep in mind he's a pastor. When it comes to representing family values and standing for the majority, he is outnumbered. He said he has even had another member call him a hate pastor, end quote. He says, I go in to visit Mobile and I'm completely outnumbered. We need more people that are not okay with the ideology and definitely will not want this ideology hoisted on taxpayers. We need people that are willing to stand up. That's my position. I believe we have Woody on the line. Woody, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor. I try not to call in frequently, but I have to speak again today after having called yesterday. I apologize. But listen,
that's wonderful. No apology needed.
I want to address something from a professional background that we as Christians are doing that are helping to cause the problem. I'm going to have to tell you a little bit about what I used to do. Athletics are extremely important in the development of young men's lives. I have six sons. All six of them played our family sport, which was baseball. I played baseball. I loved it. All my sons did. One got a little bit of professional recognition before his right arm went out. He was a very stellar pitcher. I have some connection to the Tampa Bay Rays and some connection to originally to what was the Jacksonville Suns before they came the Jumbo Shrimp, wherever that is, and also to the Marlins that the Suns were affiliated with. I'm saying that to make an important point. As a Christian, I support athletics. It's important for the development of young men. But as a Christian, when the business of baseball, and I'm going to point out the business of the NFL that boycotted also, turn themselves to social issues where they don't belong, and they do what the San Francisco Giants have done, and Major League Baseball behind them, then a Christian has to walk away. Now, here is my background that connects me to the Tampa Bay Rays and to the Marlins and the Suns previously. I was a marketing director for an aviation company for a number of years, and I advertised. I put us in connection with the Jaguars and then with locally with the Suns, and we gave the Jacksonville Suns the best promotion package they ever had, and they won an award for it. We put money into the system, but when I discovered that that Major League Baseball, and specifically the Tampa Bay Rays, were persecuting four specific pitchers on their team for not complying with LGBTQ-driven programs several years ago down there, I stopped supporting baseball, the sport we love. I didn't advertise any further on any of the local sports venues. I haven't attended a Jaguars game for a long time because something that happened to Mark Brunell in the early 20s that I thought was shameful under Tom Coughlin. Christians have to get to the point where they say, look, I love baseball, I love football, but if they're going to insinuate themselves into social issues that are anti-God, and I'm not going to quote the verse, but let's go to Leviticus chapters 16 and 18, Deuteronomy 16 and 18. Let's look at that list of civil laws by which the Jews were governed. Mm-hmm. We'll find one or two that deal with the issue of sodomy mm-hmm. and what the punishment was. And people say, oh, that's terrible, that's severe. Well, you know, I guess it is. But the reason that it's there and the punishment is severe is because that particular activity destroys a nation. How does it destroy a nation, Woody? It mitigates against the very first commandment, which is what? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Genesis 1:28.
That's right.
God's plan for the reconciliation of the world back to himself is through one man and one woman being joined together for a physical lifetime, reproducing physically and spiritually as often as God gives them the opportunity across the ages until we get to Revelation 20:10 when Satan is judged and thrown by the powerful angel into the lake of fire. The sodomite movement is anathema to any culture. History shows that. Arnold Toynbee has done a lot of research on it. Pyram Sorokin, Oswald Spengler, these guys have shown in the decline of the nations to their ultimate demise that one of the great elements is the failure of the people to reproduce and the encroachment of aberrant sexual activity, which causes a decline of the reproductive rate of the nation. America's reproductive rate has fallen below replacement population now, and Europe is so far beneath it, they're going to be dead in 50 years as a culture. Mm-hmm. They can't recover. The point is, if Christians would stop supporting these things that they... I love baseball. I hate it, but I've walked away from it. I said, to heck with the Tampa Bay Rays when they dismissed those four Christian ball players for not supporting an LGBT initiative.
Mm-hmm.
What does LGBT have to do with sports? Satan is attacking those things that are essential to males. Sports are, participation in sports are, and then they align it with these unholy things, these ungodly things, like the LGBT sodomite initiative. Christians need to walk away. We need to stop supporting their advertising like my company did for a while. We just walk away. We have to develop other interests. That's my diatribe.
Absolutely. But before you go, if we could hold you a little longer, Woody, it's bad enough for the MLB to do that. It's bad enough for any other sports team to do that. It's bad enough to find where Stutzman, the lady's name that was the florist, I believe, in California, that was prosecuted and persecuted for 10, 12 years. It's bad enough for Jack Little, I believe his name was, that's the cake baker that was persecuted and prosecuted for 10, 12 years. It's bad enough for those that are the photographers that are Christians to refuse to do sodomite weddings and be prosecuted and persecuted. But what do we say when we see that there's been an organization since 1972 named the Southern Poverty Law Center that all of the time of the Clinton administration, the Obama administration, and the Biden administration, and the FBI, the DHS, and the DOJ, and those administrations would go to the Southern Poverty Law Center to find out who are the bad guys. And in that process, because we're just finding out much of that, I've got a whole sheaf of documents that I've researched, but the Southern Poverty Law Center has just been indicted with 11 charges, and now just as of the latter part of last week, another indictment called the Super Charges that's come against them, because they had listed, let me give you this list and then we'll talk about it. The Southern Poverty Law Center listed the Family Research Council as a hate group, the American Family Association as bigoted hate group, Liberty Council as hate group, D. James Kennedy Ministries as hate group and bigoted, Jesse Waters and Laura Ingraham and many of the Fox anchors as preaching or advertising pushing hate. The Specific Justice Institute called a hate group, bigoted group, and I could go on and on. I've got a list as long as your arm that was listed, and that list was open, available to the federal government agencies, the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ, and under Biden, the DHS, used that list to persecute, to prosecute Christians, to debank Christians, to demean Christians, and to say it's disinformation and misinformation from Christians, and refer to us as hate groups, etc., etc. What do you say to that? How do we respond to that? What should Christians think when we realize that our own government has been utilizing internal, I call it thugs with badges agencies, to persecute and to prosecute Christians because of our stand biblically?
Well, first of all, let me thank you on the very smooth transition to the subject. That was good. You're a professional guy. What I would say to that is what I said yesterday. I don't think Christians understand, because they haven't read the Bible through. Almost no one's ever read it through cover to cover in 3 to 4 months. I will say this, 1 John 5:19, we're of God, the whole world lies in the sway of the evil one. This world is Satan's domain. It's getting worse and worse and worse. He's coming out of the shadows. The great falling away is here. It's taking place. We're about to see the mysterious rapture of the church that I'm going to be fun to see how the world explains that, probably the aliens and the UFOs. It's here. But the world is going to get worse and worse and worse. The Olivet Discourse, Jesus in Matthew 24 said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be for the coming of the Son of Man. Violence filled the earth. Man was evil beyond imagination. All the all the thoughts of man are wicked and evil, and we're getting farther and farther in that direction. Therefore, we have to go against the things of God. I say the world does, has to go against the things of God to get where they want to go. God and those people who are part of his family are in the way. We're hated because we ruin the fun of other people who want to do it their way. We are a standard of righteousness that infuriates them. So what we do is, one, we understand it's here, we understand Satan is behind it, and then we push back against the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
We take up for those who are being led away to slaughter, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Well, this organization, the Southern Poverty Law Center, touted itself as being one that was exposing those companies, those organizations, those individuals, those big business in some cases, that were supposed to be those that are bigots, those that were hate groups. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, if by bad people you mean organizations that the Southern Poverty Law Center has classified as hate groups, anti-government groups, and extremist organizations, there is no single list consisting of only the conservative Christian organization. The SPLC had a huge database with wide-ranging organizations in relationship to that. And the thing that frightens me, Marshall, is when we see that our federal government, under president after president, that was the go-to organization to find out who's bad and who's good. Many people in America were prosecuted, persecuted, indicted, put in prison, and fined as a result of the Southern Poverty Law Center and their approach to destroy Christianity. And of course, this goes without saying, I tried to find a list of what I call all donors to the SPLC, and the artificial intelligence, the search engine, said, we can't give you all donors. Some of that is not public. But it goes on to say, George Soros through the Open Society Foundation, George Clooney, Emil Clooney, Tim Cook, and his Apple organization, reported as a donor following the Charlottesville-related fundraiser effort. Apple, J.P. Morgan Chase, and listen to this, Chick-fil-A has an answer, said they stated that publicly that the donation occurred years ago. That is not an ongoing relationship. But what they were doing, they were going to Christian organizations like Chick-fil-A, threatening to place them on the bigot list unless they donated to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And now they've discovered with the super indictment that the key leaders in the Southern Poverty Law Center were being, they were in beds with the ones that they call the bigots. They were in beds with the KKK. They were in the bed with the Communist Party. They were in the bed with all of those that hate America, hate Christians, and hate God, and claimed that they were there to defend liberty, claimed they were there to expose evil, and they were the evil purveyors. That angers me. I don't know about you. I get bent out of shape with it. But,
well, you should. And if you'll pick the book up, White Guilt by Michael Steele, you'll find out the engine that drives it. We slap a pseudo-religious or good civic issue title on an evil Marxist organization, and people won't come against it. They'll be complicit with it simply because of the guilt we have over the slavery issues or whatever.
Yeah, that book, White Guilt, if I recall, the White Guilt was written by a former head of the Republican Party, my